I'm Mary Lynn with you weekdays, noon to 3.
And I'm Ryan Monahan.
And here to join us to talk about the craziness that's going on in Springfield now that the veto session is in full swing. We've got John Bambanek here with us. John's a political pundit, also Republican candidate for state Senate. And you were in Springfield yesterday, was it?
Yeah,
or recently?
It was yesterday.
Okay.
Along with, from what I heard, about 16,000 Ask Me protesters.
Yes, yes. They were. There was a big protest in the rotunda, and that's because Governor Quinn wants to not pay them their raises and things like that, right?
I don't think there was one specific reason that they were there. At least it wasn't clear. I mean, part of it was Quinn going back on his promises for pay raises and no layoffs. But they're using a lot of the Occupy Wall Street themes, We Are the 99, during their protest. So
really? Because I don't have a pension. I mean, I suppose those of us without pensions and should go start camping out and protesting, too, because I'm a little bummed. I'm relying on my 401k and Social Security, but I guess that's for another day.
Oh, what? The Dow's up, what, 300 today, so your 401k can't be too bad
for
today.
All right. Well, yeah, for today, and we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the issues that are being batted about there in Springfield, because it's so hard to keep up with this stuff, and obviously you're a political geek, so you can tell us what's going on. Why don't we start with the ComEd Ameren bill? They were wanting to increase our rates because they say that we have to upgrade our smart grid, and so because of that, they need a whole bunch of money.
Right.
And originally, the governor actually, this was one thing I was kind of happy about, that the governor said, no, we're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm. The governor has built his career on consumer protection, particularly from utilities. The Illinois Commerce Commission, which regulates rate increases for public utilities, was one of his pet projects. Maybe 15, 20 years ago.
Okay.
Under the smart grid bill, so I guess backstory, the rates for electricity, water, power are highly regulated. So they're controlled in what they can charge. So ComEd and Ameren, the two major power providers in the state of Illinois, said, okay, we want 1.3 to 1.5 to implement smart grid, and then 1.3 to 1.5 billion for infrastructure upgrades to power lines.
And could you ask? Could you tell us why is this smart grid suddenly? Because I know that they were given an increase not too long ago.
Sure.
So what is this smart grid thing suddenly? Is it something that we definitely need here in the state?
Well, there are some advantages to smart grid, and actually, a lot of the technology for the smart grid was actually developed at U of I in the Coordinated Science Lab. And essentially what it is that it's intelligent allocation of power because we don't all use the same amount of power all 24 hours. So what it'll do is kind of allocate power based on time frames so that electricity isn't wasted because, you know, power that's unused but generated essentially just gets burned off.
Okay.
So smart grid tries to capture some of those inefficiencies so that we don't waste that energy.
Okay.
So there is some advantage to the technology there. There is certainly...
Would it save me as a consumer money over the long run?
Well, if it's done right, it should.
Okay.
So this is where you kind of run headlong into how we regulate power rates, how we regulate public utilities, and how that money is dispersed, you know, through the system.
Okay.
So when ComEd wants to implement this technology, well, they want to be able to pay for it with revenues they receive, but they can't get those revenues unless they get the state to allow them to increase their rates.
Okay.
So the question is whether it's worth it or not. And, you know, there's people that fell on both sides. And the governor did veto the legislation. He had some criticisms. His veto was overridden, and those criticisms were encapsulated into a trailer bill, which is subsequent legislation to make changes. And that was passed. And kind of an interesting backstory of how it passed in the House. I wasn't there at the time. I was on the Senate side. But Michael Madigan supported this legislation, and most of his caucus, the Democrats in the House, weren't on the floor when it came up. So his staff simply voted yes for all the absent members, and it passed something like 90 to 20. So
really, so you can just have so if you're not there to vote on a bill, you can the leader of the House can just say, okay, we'll have our staff members vote for you?
Not exactly, because several of those legislators came back and then corrected the record. It's like, this yes vote, I would have voted no if I were here.
He didn't even have to, like, they didn't even have to call the legislator and say, would you vote yes, yay or nay?
Well,
they just made an assumption and said, okay, we'll vote yes.
Well, Mike Madigan, the speaker does what the speaker does, you know, and I mean, I'm kind of amused by it, but it's really not funny. It's one of the ways that power is centralized in Springfield.
But that's just absurd. Well, how can you call a vote if the people aren't there to vote?
Well, it's the legislator's responsibility to be on the floor during votes.
Okay.
Though they can, you know, convene the session and then start voting right away. So there are games that have been played when the stakes are high enough, and this is one case.
Okay.
But you can do a motion to verify the vote where you actually have to say, okay, you know, Representative Jason Berrickman, you know, how do you vote? And if he's not there, well, then no vote is recorded. But, you know, if somebody presses the button on the box for normal votes, then, well, the vote's recorded, and, you know, it's kind of a no cop, no crime thing. If you're going 90 and nobody catches you, well, you don't get a speeding ticket.
Wow. Okay, so they do the trailer bill thing. So what does that mean? Does that mean that that our rates will go up and that ComEd and Ameren are going to get the money they need to build the smart grid?
Essentially, if I'm reading the legislation right, and it's complicated, is that they have a certain level of leeway with which to increase rates outside of the Illinois Commerce Commission. So it doesn't necessarily mean rates will go up, but rates are going to go up. It's a question of how much. I think one of the estimates from the ComEd lobbyists was $3 a month for a general property owner or homeowner like you or myself. Whether that actually turns out to be true or not, you know, time will tell, because a lot of it's indexed to, you know, the prime rate in terms of interest rates. So if interest rates go up, then they can increase more. There's a lot of external factors that go into it.
Okay. Always kind of confusing. I just don't want, we're broke, people. We're broke. Quit asking us for more money, for heaven's sakes. All right. Well, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. There's all kinds of other stuff to talk about that's going on in Springfield that matters to you and me. The bill for Health Alliance getting shot down. Gambling are they going to be able to get a casino in Danville? And then also some big companies here in Illinois who want tax breaks. We'll find out if they're going to get them or not. So stay with us. It's 2:13 at Connect FM. We're talking with John Bamanek. Now you have a choice. We're 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. It's 2:15. Hi there, I'm Mary Lynn.
And I'm Ryan Monahan.
We covered the Calvin Miller case earlier today, and we'll play back some of those phone calls for you. We got to talk with Chief R.T. Finney, and we also ended up speaking with Calvin Miller's dad, Martell Miller. This is about the Martell Miller case, where there is some alleged racial profiling and police brutality that's being thrown out there. Police are saying, no, we were dealing with a kid who was running from the police, and this is what happened. And so anyway, you'll get to hear from both sides here in just a little bit. We're talking, speaking of differences of opinion and all of this, we're talking about state politics. John Bamanek is here with us. He's the Republican candidate for state Senate, also a political pundit here. You can find him at johnbamanek.com. And, okay, real quick, Health Alliance. Senator Frerichs has been on our show. I'm trying to get him on either tomorrow or Monday to talk about the bill that he proposed. And he's a member of COGFA, and they've been fighting with the governor about whether state employees can, you know, stick with Health Alliance or not, and be able to keep their doctors, all of that. He presented a bill, thought that he would be able to get enough support behind that in order to be able to kind of keep things the way they were. But that did not come to pass.
No, that was correct. I was actually on the Senate floor when it was discussed earlier yesterday morning, and, you know, there's a lot of motion on it. Eventually, it did fail, at least in public. The primary concern of those who oppose the law was separation of powers. It's the governor's responsibility to negotiate contracts, and the legislature shouldn't overrule that process. They have an argument. The problem is that the process didn't take place the way it was supposed to take place, that the providers that were selected couldn't provide services to everybody downstate. I mean, if you're in Chicago, Cook County, Collar County,
yeah, it's great.
Great,
it's great
options
for you.
Yeah, but anybody, unfortunately, seems like a lot in the Quinn administration. you know, it's great if you're in Cook or the Collar counties, and not so great if you're south of I-80. And that's where the real problem came in. And, you know, I know Senator Frerichs fought hard for the legislation,
yeah,
to his great credit. But it didn't come out the way we would have hoped. There are other options there. I know there's a special enrollment period for state employees to get back in Health Alliance starting now.
Today is the 27th.
I think it goes to the end of this month.
Okay.
That will go for the rest of the fiscal year till the end of June. And then there's another contract negotiation, but
okay,
it's kind of a foregone conclusion where that's going to go.
Okay.
But I do know there's people looking into this problem, finding a ways to work. You know, this particular avenue didn't work in terms of getting it resolved amicably. So there's still other avenues with COGFA, the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability, and other avenues to continue to work on this problem. So, this is one setback, but hopefully not the final answer.
Okay.
We certainly do want to save taxpayers'
money. What do you
money,
recommend but, happen?
Ultimately, if we're going to have a health insurance provider and save the money, they need to be able to provide services to all the state workers in the state of Illinois, not just service one place and, not so good service other place.
You think you'd be able to convince the governor that that's an important part of the process?
I'd like to have a great confidence in my ability to persuade Pat Quinn, but I don't think my ego would justify that ability. So, Quinn has his particular perspective, and it takes good people downstate to stand up to them in the legislature and elsewhere to do that checks and balances that we have enshrined in our state and federal government. And, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But there are people fighting, and that's the most you can hope for.
Okay. All right. Well, hang tight, John. We want to talk to you about a couple of the big companies that have been threatening to leave Illinois. They want some tax breaks, and now the governor is trying to do a little strong-arming to get some more money.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. We'll have you explain that for us here in a moment. And if you want to connect with John Bamadick, 359-CALL is our number, 217-359-2255. It is 220 on Connect FM. We're 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM, and it is 2:22. Hi there, I'm Mary Lynn.
And I'm Ryan Monahan.
John Bamadick is here with us, political pundit and Republican candidate for state senate at johnbamadick.com. And we've been connecting about some of the stuff going on in the veto session. So, Chicago Mercantile Exchange has been threatening to leave the state because of the income tax hike. And so what they would like to do in order to stay is to get some tax breaks.
Right. Their general position is that they pay a disproportionate share of the corporate taxes collected by the state. Numbers that they put out, I don't think anybody's disputed them. Just the Chicago Merc pays 6% of all corporate taxes collected.
How much?
6%.
Wow.
So big state, one entity covering 6%. I mean, there's certainly some unbalance. And basically they pay taxes on every exchange processed by the Chicago Merc, whether electronic or, the trader on the floor doing the hand signal thing. Strictly speaking, what they're threatening is to process all the trades outside of Illinois, so Illinois cannot claim that for taxable revenue, which would be, for just a Merc, it's about $150 million a year.
Wow.
So a big chunk of change.
So basically, they just don't want to have to pay the increase. They want to go, they're fine with paying what they're paying, but they don't want to have to pay the additional increase that was kind of thrown upon all of us individuals and corporations.
In public, I don't think they're setting certain terms. They're saying, this is unfair. We're paying 6%. There are other big employers in the state who are paying zero in terms of corporate taxes. And this is kind of a factor of our corporate tax code where certain large employers pay nothing or next to nothing or get big tax credits like, Boeing got to come here or Sears got when they relocated their headquarters to Hoffman Estates or Schaumburg. I forget exactly which one it is. So now
Sears is threatening to.
Well, their tax break is expiring because it's 23 years.
It's like, come on! I mean, you got the break. You got to at least pay in. I mean, we're a broke state. I mean, we can't keep giving tax breaks.
That's exactly it. I mean, we've entered the phase where our businesses, at least the big ones, know that they could say, give us something or we're leaving, and they get something. The reality is then that tax burden falls on small, medium business, which is a driver of economic growth,
a driver of income growth, job growth. Tax break all you want if you're a small business. You're not going to get it.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, nobody listening to this radio program has Pat Quinn's private cell phone number,
right.
You know, but CME certainly does. So, you know, it's kind of this natural consequence of the fact that we've entered our tax code Swiss cheese. You know, if you're connected, hey, you get a break. If you're not connected, you don't get a break. And if you're small, medium business, well, you're nobody and we don't care. So, you know, our tax code should be pretty much just thrown out, low, flat, broad, done. No more handouts, no nothing. Here's a fair tax code and we're moving on.
Yeah.
And hopefully get past this phase. But the reality is with our current governor and the current people in Springfield, we're in a bidding war for a lot of these jobs.
Okay, so he's seeing the Chicago Mercantile Exchange's threat to you know, kind of pull out of Illinois. He's seeing that as an opportunity to try to get some money to borrow.
Right, and you know, CME, you know, and Chicago Board of Options has said, you know, we want a deal. Quinn hasn't been entirely engaged in that process, at least based on the president of those institutions who have expressed publicly their frustrations, but legislators are involved. According to Representative Cross, the House Republican leader, Quinn says, all right, these guys want a tax break. I want your vote to borrow to pay our past due bills, which is something that's been rejected by the legislator for the last 12 months. So now Quinn's saying, okay, you know, I'll help you out with your problem, and you need to give me a borrowing package, which doesn't even have support among his own party. And in essence, we're playing Russian roulette with a lot of jobs right now based on a very unpopular program that doesn't have the support in the legislature otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, the past due bills, it's just insane. I mean, we've, you know, there's just been story upon story about, you know, people who've just been waiting and waiting and waiting. And I forget the total that we owe. It's astounding.
$4.5 billion.
$4.5 billion is it, that we owe in bills. AP did a story about how Illinois is a deadbeat state because they're just borrowing off of the people that they owe money to, and they're not paying them back. And and you know, we've had folks on from the Illinois Policy Institute saying no, we definitely should not borrow any more money because we're broke enough, and we've got to cut spending.
Sure. Well, and that's the thing about borrowing. I mean, we do pay interest on those past due bills, percent a month. So that's 12% a year. You know, theoretically, you borrow under lesser interest. But, you know, $4.5 billion over 7 years with our interest rate, maybe $600 to $800 million a year. Well, where's that money coming from? Well, we've just blown another big hole in our budget. Or the way Quinn has done his last two debt proposals where, the first few years you're not paying anything on interest, and it's all backloaded on your, like, a typical balloon mortgage where, you know, everything comes due and you're like, oh, wait, where do we get this money? We need to have, you know, a serious discussion about how we're going to pay our bills that don't involve saying, okay, let's just run to the credit card all the time, because at the end of the day, there is no plan for that interest payment. Let's borrow and, you know, magic ponies and fairy dust will make it all work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not how it happens. We've got, you know, $200 billion that we owe the pensions. You know, we've got $4.5 billion that we owe these past due providers.
Mm-hmm.
Our interest payment on our existing debt is increasing over time, just on the pensions. In the next 3 to 4 years, just our interest on our pension payments grows by $1.5 billion. You know, if there's going to be discussions about this, we need to stop planning tactically. Okay, here's a fire, let's put it out, and start planning strategically. We know we're in a bad position. How are we going to get out of it in 10 years instead of how can we kick the can down the road 3 to 4 years, you know, and maybe I'm gone by then and I've got my pension.
Well, do you think that there's enough people in Springfield now who realize that we need to come up with a strategic plan and who will fight for a strategic plan?
I think some are coming around, particularly on the corporate tax issue. You know, and I know I've harped about, you know, small, medium business bearing the brunt of this. And, you know, I know a few Republicans who are coming along saying, you know what? Yeah, we have to stop giving handouts to one company because they're sending out press releases. We need to fix the overall picture. You know, there's progress on that front. Whether it's far enough, fast enough, is another story. I mean, there's a time limit of how long we have to fix our problems before we kind of enter, you know, a spiral where things you know, go down farther.
Right.
Like I said, we're paying interest on that $4.5 billion of past due debt bills, and even those interest payments were late on. So
right, I see in California they're actually starting to touch the dreaded pension reform.
Well, I think you know, everybody will admit we need to do pension reform somehow, some way. Now, it's a question of political courage and people willing to do the hard work and find something that works. You know, and even in small ways, this past week, it was discovered one union head of the Illinois Federation of Teachers and their lobbyist substitute taught for one day, just one day.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to credit their entire union, years of service in the union and their salary towards a pension that was never funded. So essentially, they're raiding the pension for millions. You know, if this happened in the private sector, people would be arrested. If this happened in the Teamsters, somebody be dead, you know. But these kind of antics, there's a certain amount of toleration. And I mean, this is something, this is an intentional choice apparently made by a former representative, Gary Hannig. There's a local Republican who is apparently responsible for part of that. These are things that are easy to fix. And there's still a lot of inertia to get that done. It's simple. These people robbed the taxpayers. They robbed the public pensions for a million. They're union leadership. So their job is to look after for their members.
Yeah.
And they screwed them. And people are like, well, I don't know if we want to we want to go after them for that. We'll put the padlock on the door, but they can keep their million. No, wrong answer. They stole $1 million. Get the $1 million back.
Amen.
You know, yeah, put the padlock on, but
yeah,
after them.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? Why would, because it was a loophole and so it was legal.
Well, and
it was legal robbery, even, you know.
Well, right. I mean, there's legal corruption, and only in Illinois could legal corruption as a phrase make sense.
Yeah.
And but everybody who's responsible for this needs to be outed and drummed out. I mean, to the people that off the top of my head are responsible are no longer in the legislature, you know, but you know, still the head of the IFT is still there. And frankly, he needs to resign. And every public school teacher in the state of Illinois who cares about their pension ought to be asking for his resignation because he stole from them.
Yeah.
I didn't steal from them. Springfield didn't steal from him. Their union boss stole for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people need to really start keeping an eye out on these things. And thanks for bringing that kind of stuff to our attention. Well, we could talk Illinois politics all day long, but I'm sure there's plenty more exciting things to come.
Yeah, well, it's always moving, you know. If you're bored, wait 5 minutes. There's another development.
And there's something else. Well, thank you for keeping us up to speed on some of these important issues, and we look forward to having you back. Again, John Bamanek is a Republican candidate for state Senate, and you can find him at johnbamanek.com. That's B-A-M-B-E-N-E-K. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
232 at Connect FM.